Lunch with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
It's always a pleasure to have Wendy Nola with us in studio. Great to have you back again.
Thanks, Pippa.
We're going to be chatting about some of the hidden pitfalls of our car hire contracts, particularly when it comes to insurance. And then after 2:30, we'll make some time for your open line calls. So a reminder, if you want to join either parts of those conversations, 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. You can send an SMS to 31567 or a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Over to you, Wendy.
Okay, so one of the most common misperceptions, if not the most common misperception, is that of insurance when it comes to the car rental industry. The car rental industry does not insure their vehicles. They self-insure, which means they have a waiver system, which is why on your documents, if you read them, you won't see the word premium. Or excess, or people call it an excess. It's not an excess. It's a waiver system. So you can choose between the default standard waiver or the more expensive super waiver, which limits your liability for the costs associated with damage, theft, loss of the car. It doesn't matter whether it was your fault or not. If you're in a hailstorm or someone crashes into you while you're in a supermarket or a restaurant, you still are liable. And the extent to which you're liable depends on which waiver you have opted to buy.
Okay.
Of course, in my line of work, I always opt for the more expensive one because I hear from people who've had accidents and losses in cars and what it's cost them, rental cars, that is. A car rental company executive told me not too long ago that on average, 6% of all industry rentals result in damage. It's fairly high, but if you consider you've got a lot of foreigners coming out here, hiring the cars, not used to driving on our side of the road, blah, blah, blah. You're not familiar with that particular car. You're in a strange place.
Yeah.
And so there's a higher likelihood that something is going to go wrong. In the case of standard waivers, the renter pays a lot more for the damage repair replacement than if they'd opted for the more expensive one, obviously. So even if you've taken the most budget of budget cars, I think it's AA or whatever that cheapest one is, the little tiny
bottom
thing.
Bottom class, yeah.
Yeah, with the little sewing machine engines. You're looking at 20,000 rand or more if you have an incident, and it's very easy for an incident to be more than 20,000 rand, which is a big dent in your budget.
Yeah.
That you hadn't planned for. That's why the savvy car renters opt for the more expensive super waiver, meaning if disaster strikes, you're unlikely to pay anything more than 5,000, which is a lot easier to deal with. But I'm not going to go into this in too much depth because it's a whole show, if not two, on its own. But what doesn't get disclosed as a car rental to a car rental customer at the counter when you're there madly trying to sign everything and just get away with the keys is what happens, the kinds of things that mean that your waivers don't kick in at all and you are entirely responsible for all the loss or all the damage. Things like driving on a gravel road, hitting a pothole, water damage, damage to the undercarriage of the car and not reporting the accident or loss to the company in time. They say that they're Leland, but one company gives clients just 3 hours in which to report some incident. It's not a claimable incident or,
So even if if that incident, you had to go to hospital to have stitches put in afterwards, would they give you some leeway?
Of course they would. But this is one of the many reasons why you need to read the small print.
So, that might come as a shock to many people. Traveling on a gravel road
might completely exclude
you from the waiver. Okay.
And when you think that many certainly leisure destinations require you to go on a gravel road, that's a very big thing to bear in mind.
Particularly all the people who fly to the Kruger Park and rent a car to go there for
maybe
one.
Those contracts allow you to, because obviously it would be pointless to hire a car with that exclusion if you're going only on gravel. But the point is you need to discuss it, make no assumptions.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that brings me to we're talking specifically today about windscreen and tire waivers. So that's something that's coming, and it's not terribly expensive as an extra, and I would definitely recommend it. So if you get there's a crack in the windscreen, you go out in the morning and there's a crack in the windscreen or whatever, a chip flies up, you're looking at thousands if you haven't bought this extra waiver. So it's really worth that little bit of extra.
And when you say that little bit of extra, it's for that particular one, it's often as little as sort of 15 or 20 rand.
Yeah,
hey?
It's low.
Okay.
It's not very much. And of course, it's not just the cost of the windscreen. All these claims have an admin fee, which is 700-800 rand. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. So normally windscreen and tire go together. So now we're talking tires.
Okay, so let's bring in Craig at this point, who is the listener who contacted us and actually sparked the idea for the show today. Because, tell us Craig's story in brief, Wendy.
Okay, he did pay extra for that windscreen and tire damage waiver when he hired a VW Combi from Tempest for 9 days in August. The deal was included 200 kilometers per day free, which is quite standard in these contracts. He got a puncture, the vehicle did, one of the tires in Palaboa, and he changed the wheel. Very good of him, but he was concerned about continuing the trip with no spare. So he got hold of Tempest, who had someone from sister company Europe Car's office in Palaboa to contact him. He was given authorization to get the tire replaced in Palaboa or to pay for the replacement and claim back the costs. But hours later, the company was insisting that he must not get the tire replaced, that they wanted to replace the entire car instead, in other words, drive out a new car to him. And therein lies the tale.
Okay, so let's bring Craig in at this point because he's been listening in on the line. Craig, thank you so much for being prepared to share your story with us so that others can learn from your experience. Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, Pippa. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Craig.
So if I get this right, you said to them, I'm happy to go and I'll take on the burden of finding somewhere to replace the tire and replace the spare and I'll just claim back the cost from you. But you were told specifically not to do that. Is that correct?
That's correct. I actually argued with them for about five or six times, asking them to, because it just was more convenient actually for me to go somewhere in my own time and organize it instead of having to specifically meet at a particular point in time.
Okay, and to wait, obviously, for another vehicle to be sent through and hold you up. So what reason did they give you? They just said, we would prefer it this way. Did they give any kind of argument as to why you shouldn't do what you were proposing?
They kept saying to me, I'm on holiday, you're on holiday, you don't need to go and stand at a tire shop, which to me was actually more convenient for me to do that anyway. But regardless of how much I protested, they insisted that I wait until they had another vehicle for me and then I come and replace it.
Okay, now at any point in that discussion, did anyone say to you there are going to be additional costs associated with bringing you this replacement car that we are insisting you take?
No, not at all.
Okay, not at all. So that was the situation. You waited for the replacement vehicle and off you went on your journey. It was when you got the invoice at the end of that journey, Craig, that you got quite a nasty shock. Tell us what happened.
Well, when I got the invoice, I noticed that it was actually even just before the invoice when they refunded my deposit on my credit card, and it was a lot less than I was expecting. When I got the invoice and had a look, I saw the kilometer charge that they charged me as well as the fuel charge that they charged me, which looked exceptionally high. I'd kept pretty much track of the route that we'd taken, and I was pretty sure that we'd stayed just within our limit of 200 kilometers a day, but they were charging me for just close to 500 extra kilometers, which I couldn't understand initially.
Okay, and when you questioned them, what did they say about that extra figure?
They then explained to me that they were charging me for the kilometers. The car, they didn't have a car for me in Palaboa, so they had to deliver the car to Palaboa from their, in fact, Tempest doesn't even have a branch in Palaboa. They work with Europe Car. And they delivered a car from the Polokwane branch, which is 240 kilometers away, to the Palaboa branch. And then they charged me for the round trip. So they charged me, they added the 480-odd kilometers onto my total mileage and then charged me for that at 7 rand-odd a kilometer.
So instead of you going to a tire shop, buying a spare tire and billing them for a reimbursement, they said you must take an extra car and didn't tell you we're going to charge you for bringing that car to you and returning it again at the end. How much extra money are we talking about here? Was it several thousand, Craig?
Well, by the time they added the kilometers and the additional fuel, it worked out just close to 3,500 rand.
We can hear the frustration in your voice. I can see the looks of horror on the faces of all the people in the studio that are going, this doesn't sound right. And Craig, I know you tried to argue it with the company and didn't get anywhere, which is when you came to us at Consumer Talk. Wendy, what sort of recourse, what was your first thinking on reading and hearing Craig's story?
It's a classic case of lack of disclosure. Can't do that. Plus, he'd taken, I see his waiver because it was a few extra things and there was actually 350 rand. So he obviously thought that anything to do with this tire is going to be covered, as any reasonable, what they call the hypothetical reasonable person would assume. assume.
Yeah.
Certainly in the lack of any disclosure around the fact that this was going to cost them in the region of 3,500 rand. So I asked Europcar, which is Tempest is part of, given that a puncture is a fairly common automotive issue, does Tempest issue specific instructions verbally as well as highlighted in the rent in the rental documentation to renters in terms of what they should and shouldn't do should this happen to them? You know, as I say, because Craig had made this assumption about the waiver. And I said, you know, was the waiver in terms of what it will and will not cover clearly explained to renters before they take possession of the car? And why did the company insist on replacing the car rather than just the spare tire, given the huge cost to the customer, not them?
Yeah.
They're passing it on.
And I believe you finally got a response from them this morning.
Yes, mid-morning. The response was that Europcar Phalaborwa did not have a replacement vehicle similar to the Kombi in question available for Craig in Phalaborwa. They could not locate a new tire for the vehicle at any of the tire suppliers in Phalaborwa. And that's why a replacement vehicle was delivered to him. I don't think Craig was actually, that was shared with Craig.
Craig, I just want to come in there. Did you make any attempt to go and find a new tire while you were engaging in these five or six attempts to convince them that this was the right way forward?
I'm sorry, but a Kombi tire is a very, very standard size of tire. I didn't because I first contacted them. But I mean, there are some large tire companies in Phalaborwa. There's a HiQ in Phalaborwa, which we actually looked up to see exactly where it was and to see that we could get there, and to even see their hours. We didn't phone them and double check, but that certainly nobody ever told me anything about the fact that they couldn't get a tire for me. I don't buy that story at all. And as I said, that, on top of that, they did not disclose to me that there was going to be any charge. We would have probably been more willing to take a risk if we'd understood, you know, with the fact that we'd already had one puncture. Yeah. We would have taken a risk on the tire and bought some tire weld or something like that just as a safety precaution.
Yeah.
Okay. Wendy, carry on. That's not the end of their response, though.
No,
yeah.
It continues. Unfortunately, due to system-based invoicing, the complainant was charged for the additional kilometers as well as fuel costs pertaining to the delivery of the replacement of the vehicle. This was incorrect, as this complainant, that's you, Craig, should have not have been burdened or inconvenienced with these charges. Unfortunately, the Tempest finance team did not have this information pertaining to the circumstances of the replacement vehicle referred to herein above available at the time. So
it's a very complicated gobbledygook for we acknowledge that this should not have happened.
It shouldn't have happened on several levels.
Yeah.
And then basically to say that Craig is going to be refunded. He's been credited. From our investigation, it seems that the cause of Craig's concerns and unhappiness may have been a lack of proper communication, I'll say, between the Tempest Europcar representatives. It's evident that he was not afforded full disclosure of exactly what the status was and why a replacement vehicle was delivered. We apologize for any inconvenience caused in the process.
Okay, so you're getting a refund, Craig. I don't suppose it's appeared in your account as yet, but...
No. It hasn't, you know, that is fantastic. And the really sad thing I think about this is that when the two people that we dealt with at Europcar in Phalaborwa were absolutely amazing, both on the phone and in person. And we actually left there having such a high regard for the whole Europcar Tempest operation. And obviously myself and my traveling partners were very upset once this happened and we sort of were landed with this massive extra bill.
Well, at least it is a extra bill that is being reversed. Craig, thank you so much for sharing the story with us today. And just let us know when the money's in your account, please, so that we can make sure they follow through on that promise.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Pippa. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, Craig.
Okay, Craig, thanks for sharing the story and good news for Craig. Wendy, thank you for championing the cause here. His is not the only car hire story Wendy's dealt with, so we'll carry on after the news with an update on one or two other aspects.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now 021-446-0567.
That is the number you can use to start dialing now with any open line consumer questions. In the meantime, we're just going to carry on a little bit more on this car waiver issue, because Craig's was, as I said, Wendy, not the only such case that you've dealt with this year alone.
Well, and specifically to do with wheels, tires, that sort of thing. So I've had three in recent months, all to do with that. Two of the same company and one another one. So the second one involved Europe Car, which is the same company as Tempest. Brian of Cape Town hired a car from Europe Cars, Joburg, the ORT airport in April. He paid an extra 160 rand for that tire and windscreen cover. Sorry, it's not as little as 20 rand. I don't know what I was thinking about. When he returned the Fiesta to the airport, it was missing one wheel cap. And he thought, that's okay because I've paid for that waiver. It doesn't cover wheel covers.
It's only the tires.
So it cost him a whopping 2017 rand. One for the cover itself, and none, as I said, there's always that claim between 800 and 1,000 rand. So 2,000 rand and some change for a missing wheel cap. And he said, well, he couldn't, maybe it was loose, maybe, you know, I don't recall anything happening to it. And Europe Car told me that damage to or theft of wheel rims and caps is excluded from the extra cover because the purpose of the product is to limit the liability of customers who have found themselves in a situation where items are damaged through normal road conditions and not pilferage. So if your wheel covers are stolen, which is very common, or you scrape the rim of your hired car just a little bit, and that's also quite easy to do, it's going to add a lot to your credit card. Just be aware of that.
So just be mindful that there are limits to what that waiver actually extends to. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, important to know. And then I think you also had a case involving an Avis deal.
Yes, just in the interest of fairness, because I don't want to get the
sound
impression
like
it's just the one company. So Tony Ashford of PE also got a flat in his hired car, which was from Avis. And that manifested on his bill as 1,427 rand, despite the fact that he changed the wheel. He then he put the spare on it, which was fine, and he had the flat wheel in the car. And then he took it upon himself to go to a tire fitment center in Joburg where he had the car. And they repaired the valve. These tire fitment places are very gracious and generous. They repaired the valve, then reinflated the tire. It was all good to go. Didn't charge him. And he mentioned that when he took the car back, and everything was fine. And then the next minute, there was this 1,400 on the bill. He took it up for several email exchanges and got nowhere. Forwarded it to me in the end. I went through all the exchanges. I couldn't find out what that extra charge was. Why it was damaged. He'd fixed the problem. And Avis then said, no, that was a mistake. And they not only refunded that 1,400, but they actually credited him with his entire car rental.
Oh, that's decent of them. Okay.
So, yes, just to illustrate that, you know, it's an area when we think of things going wrong with the car, we're thinking of normally of accidents and theft and that kind of thing, but there's a lot going that go wrong where the rubber hits the road.
Okay, so really take the time, don't just tick and sign and move. I know you know what it's like, you're off a flight, you're in
myself.
A rush to get to where you're going, you just want to get out of there and hit the road.
So the idea of this is just to put that little germ in people's brains when you are that person at the counter, just understand the kinds of things that could go wrong and what you could be charged for.
Okay. And so a couple of follow-up questions on the WhatsApp line. So, and comments. One saying, thank you for covering this topic. This is why I always recommend taking travel insurance, even when traveling locally. Most policies have a car rental excess waiver for this purpose.
That is very worthwhile because your own rent, obviously your own car insurance is not going to cover.
Well, thank you thank you for explaining that, because Claire said surely if you've already got car insurance, your company should cover you to the same degree.
No, it's for the risk of you and your car, that combination.
It's you in that particular
car
that is
the
insured.
The insurance is on the car.
Okay, so thanks. Thank you for that advice on the travel insurance possibly covering the car rental excess waiver in such an event. Appreciate that. Well, we've got a call. Okay,
a lot of us don't think to do it with domestic travel.
Take it out for international.
Yes.
We've got a caller on the line with a related topic. Anton is on the line from Plate. Lovely to have you with us, Anton. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, just quickly, I'll summarize. You know, first of all, when you collect your vehicle, you collect it in that pitch black, dark area of the airport where they park the vehicles. And when you return it is like an operating table in a surgeon's table. You clearly see the difference in lighting when you return your vehicle. So from experience, I'm in the insurance industry, and from experience that happened to from our clients that have rental vehicles and had a chip on the windscreen, I always meticulously check the vehicle before I leave. And as the case is, when you return it, you're always late for your flight, so you want to return it as quickly as possible. And when I returned my vehicle, they said to me, no, but the vehicle's been in an accident, and there's damage on the front and the rear bumper. And in that light, I could not, for the life of me, see any damage to the bumper in front or the rear. I took photographs there of it, and I signed a document saying, I'm stating here that the vehicle was not an accident. I cannot see anything. And after checking the invoices, requesting the invoice after 3 days, I still didn't get my invoice. They charged me 2,500 Rand plus VAT for damages repaired by their repairer, their in-house repairer. So I said, well, yes, I've got photographs that there is no damage. Please tell me what you've done to repair, what was the fault, and then just give me a proof. There must be a job card or something that was filled out, that the thing, I replaced the bumper, we sprayed it. And it went on for a couple of weeks, and they could not give me proof. And after about 2 months, they refunded me.
So you did eventually get refunded. Well, Anton, well done for continuing to fight it.
So we've spoken about that issue. I've spoken about it so often. That is the scenario that I speak about most when I talk about car rentals. I thought I'd do something different with the wheels, but very good advice. I've raised this with insurance companies because that's the most common complaint I get. People who inspect the car, they say often in poor light, they don't see anything. They come back and then the windscreen wiper will be lifted and say, oh, there's a little crack here or whatever. And they can't prove that it wasn't
when they left.
It wasn't there already. And so I put this very recently to one of the car rental companies. I said, the allegation always is exactly what Anton's described. You collect the car often in the evening or night time, depending on your flight. And it's very difficult to see anything. No one actually even comes with you. There you are with your light of your cell phone, perhaps a torch. And when you bring it back, it's in, you know, this operating room conditions, as Anton put it. And the answer I got was, well, the car's already been through two or three checks. We've done our checks in pristine light. This is just a sort of if it's daytime or if it's early evening and someone will come with you, that's they've already done their job. It's just a quick going over, and it's up to the renter to do their checks. But, you know, knowing what do you see at night?
Yeah.
So it's a hugely, hugely risky thing to rent a car. And I've done it most of the times I've rented a car. It has been just that, flying in the evening before for something, first thing the next morning, as we Cape Tonians do. So that is I've taken on more cases than I can count of that exact scenario. Sometimes we win and sometimes we don't because there's no proof.
Okay, Anton, thanks for flagging a very important issue. Right, we're going to take a short break and then we continue with Consumer Talk, moving away from car hire issues. Although if you've still got questions or stories around that theme, you're welcome to keep those coming. But I would like to make some space for other topics as well. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial.
Consumer Talk, open line.
Call 021-446-0567.
Gosh, the car tire stories are streaming in. Mike saying, I had a blowout on my Hertz rental car and couldn't find a replacement at four tire companies because it had to be a particular eco sort of tire, no other brand. I was charged on my credit card 1,900 Rand and the actual tire cost 800 Rand.
Admin fee.
And then Catherine saying, I had a similar issue with a tire in a rental. I happened to mention when I returned the car that one of the tires was a bit flat and needed to be pumped up. I didn't have the time to have it done because I needed to catch a flight. And the next thing I know, they tried to charge me for a whole new tire.
Goodness.
I did manage to get it sorted after much wailing and gnashing of teeth, but it seems like a bit of a money-making racket to me, says Catherine. Randall making a similar comment. Sounds like these car rental companies are scamming loads of people. I've been lucky so far, it seems.
Yeah, look, let's vote for context here. I mean, I don't hear from people when they've had fantastic, and I've had many of my own. I've had a few where I've had to do a bit of a fight, where they've said, oh, this wasn't here, and I've said, don't you dare do that to me.
Jeez, they're brave to try that on you, Wendy Nola.
But obviously, I mean, I've had many more. I've probably had, you know, 1 out of 10 bad ones. You know, I think it goes, when everything goes swimmingly, it's lovely, but this pre-inspection and bringing the car back, that's where most of the dramas happen. Never be in a rush to drop and run, because then there's no proof, you know, which a lot of people do. They don't allow enough time to get back and hand over the car properly and sign or whatever. And they'll see on some of the contracts, they'll say, if you don't stick around for the return inspection. We reserve the right to bill you for whatever damage we find, kind of thing. Yeah. Bit tricky that legally, because how do you prove it? But still. And when you go, try, as I said before, try and hire the car in good light, not at night, and take lots of photos. Stand on the on the dorsal and take pictures of the roof, because I've had a few where they've been hit with hail damage that they couldn't
didn't see was there.
And they said there was no hail storm, and look, there was no hailing in the area that I took the car. It becomes this whole big thing. You just protect yourself as much as you can before you take the car.
Well, Clive's advice, he says, I always make one of the staff members come with me to the car and take photos of all over the vehicle, and make them send them to you, Clive, because it might be very easy for them to accidentally delete those if it's not convenient.
My best. My best story was earlier this year. I had to hire a car with another journalist, and her went down the south coast of KZN, and her husband came along. It was a weekend, and he worked in a panel beating shop, and he just began this full-on professional inspection. He kept that guy, the guy ran out of space on his list to note all the problems. I think it was 15 minutes, and his wife was like, he always does this, and I'm always grateful. Act like a pro.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move away from cars now. Mark in Belleville, good afternoon to you. What's the nature of your query?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just want to get some advice. I every kind of winter, a lot of the large mass retailers kind of follow a trend and bring in a whole lot of heaters or whatever. And so, like many people, you go out and you buy from these retailers. And, in my case, I accidentally knocked my infrared heater thing over. And the globe broke. Okay. So I went back to the retailer and I said, hey, listen, I'm really sorry. I broke this. Could I get a replacement? And the guy says, look, no, we don't actually keep replacements. I said, okay, well, is it possible I could send it in? And he said, no, I'm sorry, but we don't actually take the units back in. We're just the importer of these units. And then I had a very similar incident where I damaged this blender, and it was the exact same story. And so now I sit with, 4,000 rands worth of e-waste, that you buy, and it's distributed and sold by large mass retailers, and they actually, you have zero recourse, to any kind of, after sale service or any kind of maintenance follow up or anything. You're just isolated, and I don't really know what to do with that. I know that I don't want to contribute to more e-waste. I'm terrified to buy anything from the retailer.
Wendy, your response?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing in the Consumer Protection Act that compels a supplier, retailer, to ensure that they have sufficient consumables. In other words,
spare parts.
They are required to warrant a product for 6 months against defects. But what Mark's talking about here
is
not a defect. He admits that he knocked it over and caused the problem, but there should be a reasonable expectation that you're going to be able to replace the globe, or bulb or whatever it was, and not have to forfeit your entire purchase. And as he says, it's becoming more and more of an issue, contribute to e-waste. The only thing I can suggest there is to ask those questions before you invest. If I break this, or if the globe breaks or runs out or whatever, will I be able to buy it? I know with cars, the car manufacturers are required to have the spares and the servicing for a certain amount
number of
time.
Years,
it's like 10 years or something. But with these other products, as far as I'm aware, and if anyone can correct me, I'd be happy for the correction. There isn't any legal compulsion on them to ensure that they have the consumables and that they can repair your item if it breaks beyond the defect of the first 6 months. And I would imagine if that had happened, they would have just had to refund him or replace
it with an alternative unit.
Which he would have had the right to. He wouldn't have had to accept the repair. But accidental, you know, the consumer causing the problem is a different scenario.
Okay, Mark, sorry, an expensive lesson to learn the hard way.
I mean, it's a long time since I've looked at this issue, but if I recall correctly, that the act is silent on that.
Okay, Mark, thanks for your call. I believe we've got a voice note on the car return issue. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, just what I've had with the car rental situation before is guys have dived under the car and pointed out a whole lot of damage that I would nowhere have seen. And this went back and forward. I went back and I said to them, I want the last two return forms, you know, where they write down the damage, whether it be clear or not. And in doing that, after about a week, they've also said, no, don't worry. They're not going to process the claim. So, because I have a suspicion that these guys can claim multiple times for the same damage. And there should maybe be a system whereby if you do have that sort of claim, you can ask to see the last few returns, the analysis on the car to see what damage there was, to prove that the company aren't trying to claim that damage a few times. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, especially smart problematic Mark. With undercarriage damage. Do you remember at the beginning of the show I read out some of the forms of damage which leaves you completely liable for full repair without whether you've got a waiver or not? And one of those things on some of the contracts is undercarriage damage. Yeah. And I mean, I spoke about getting up on the dorsal and looking at the roof, but that's the other advice I've given often is look at the undercarriage. But I mean, what lay person, seriously,
is
dressed for a business meeting, for example, how are you going to actually conduct yourself as a workshop technician and to ensure that there isn't, you know, it's not practically possible. And that leaves open an area, as that caller has explained, where you could be, you know, hit with damage for something you had no idea about.
Okay. Right. I think we've got literally 60 seconds. I'm going to quickly fire an email question at you from Caroline in Pinelands, who moved into a new house in December and bought some bed linen from Home Choice. But she says since then, she gets a phone call at least once a week asking her to purchase more goods. And she's tried politely saying, no, thank you. I've bought what I need and I'm not shopping any longer. She says, I block every call that comes in and that the next week it's a different number that pops up. And again, it's Home Choice phoning, trying to get me to buy something. How do I get them to stop calling me is the question.
It's illegal. In terms of the CPA, Consumer Protection Act, if you tell a company that you do not wish to receive their direct marketing, they must stop, or they are technically committing an offence. So they've been nicely named and shamed here by Caroline. So that's some punitive action.
Okay.
But she must point out to them that they are committing an offence by not acting on her instruction. I do have a media contact at Home Choice, Caroline.
Okay,
so next time you do
email
it,
to you.
Yes, copy me, and I'll take it up. And I'm almost certain that we'll put an end to it. But you shouldn't need my intervention. But there you are.
Thank you so much, Wendy. We've covered a lot of ground as always. Thanks for being with
us.
And we'll chat again next week. Remember, if you've got a question for Wendy, the address to use is consumer@nola.co.za, spelled KNOWLER.